also, on behalf of all of the Cal Poly faculty and staff, extend a welcome to President McPhee. A welcome back from a trip around the world this past summer, which included a very productive stop with our faculty members in Northern Rhodesia, who were there for 2 years to introduce the Cal Poly way into the College of Further Education there in Lusaka, Northern Rhodesia. President McPhee doesn't know this, but Bob Mott wrote a letter to me right after the McPhees left Lusaka for Cairo, in which Bob said, "President and Mrs. McPhee have departed for Cairo en route home. I believe they had a nice visit in Lusaka. They were both very generous with their time here. The president made a terrific impression upon everyone he met, especially ministry officials and African public officials. This project was given a big boost by McPhee's visit." End of quote. So welcome back, President McPhee, on behalf of all of us. I suppose that most of you here have been reading the Telegram Tribune and know that Cord Gibson, Jim Merson, George Hasline, and Ken Schwartz were in Argentina this past summer for 6 weeks as an Agency for International Development pre-contract survey team to make a study of agricultural education and facilities for agricultural education in that country. The Northern Rhodesia team and the Argentina team make me think of the Marines hymn, which starts out like this. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. You know, until this very minute, I didn't know whether I was going to have nerve enough to intone that or not. Now, if Cal Poly were to have a hymn, it would now rate a bigger scope than from the campus of San Luis Obispo to the campus of KNV. It might go something like this. From the halls of Northern Rhodesia to the Pampa of Argentina. And Cord Gibson tells me it is Pampa, not Pampas. Now, would you please overlook my lack of skill in preparing lyrics and also my lack of skill in intoning same. And let's just forget it and assign this to maybe the head of our music department to see if he, Davey, see if he might come up with something better before the end of the year. You accept it? The Northern Rhodesia and the Argentina excursions are perhaps the most widely publicized trips. However, there are other trips and there are other staff members who traveled elsewhere who should be welcomed this morning. Those who are returning from sabbatical leaves with fresh thoughts, new skills, and new ideas. And those who used their summer's vacation, to get ready to teach with increased effectiveness during 63-64. Now, to recount all of the things faculty members did on sabbatical leaves this last year, or during the summer vacation period, that will without doubt bring greater and more effective instruction in this coming year, even if I knew all of these activities, would take more time than the committee allotted to me. However, even at the cost of omitting many things and persons, I want to extend on behalf of all of us personal congratulations to and a hearty welcome back to Cal Poly to the following individuals. Jim McGrath, head of the Air Conditioning and Refrigeration Engineering Department, attended by special invitation the General Motors Conference for Engineering and Science Education at Warren, Michigan this past summer. As part of that conference, Mr. McGrath was on field assignment with the Harrison Radiator Division in Lockport, New York. George Hoffman, Industrial Engineering Department. He's returning from 1 year leave of absence, during which time he attended Oregon State University working on a PhD degree in industrial engineering. Leon Ostier, head of the Mechanical Engineering Department, is returning from summer employment with General Electric in Hanford, Washington. While there, he worked as an engineering specialist dealing with problems in atomic energy. Bob McKnight, Head Technical Journalism Department, attended the National Convention of the Association for Education and Journalism at the University of Nebraska Center for Continuing Education. Roger Sherman, instructor in the Business Department, made significant progress toward his doctorate in Business Administration at the University of Washington. Dr. Schroeder, head of the Education Department, represented the college this past summer in the California Secondary School Administrators Association as a curriculum consultant for a workshop on selected industrial education problems for the State Department of Education at Long Beach in August. Dr. George Mack, instructor in the Mathematics Department, returns from Purdue University. Now you say he returned from Purdue University a year ago, and he's been here all this last year working on his dissertation, and that's all finished, and now it's Dr. George Mack. Dr. Mack's dissertation was based on the evaluation of instructional methods in mathematics, so I think he brings some ideas here that are going to be helpful to us. Dr. Clay Hatfield, instructor in the Biological Sciences Department, returns from a sabbatical leave at the Pan American Zoonosis Center in Azul, Argentina, where he was engaged in teaching and research in the field of brucellosis, virulent fever. Lou Hammett had an interesting summer, I'm sure. Lou's an instructor in the Physical Sciences Department, and he returns from the University of Colorado, where he participated in a National Science Foundation sponsored research program on instrumentation to go in a polar orbiting geophysical observatory to look down at the Earth to determine helium content of the Earth's atmosphere. That must have been some little deal. This involvement will be of particular value to the improvement of courses in astronomy, which Lou teaches here, and it'll be for the general education of all students on this campus. Howard Brown, the head of our OH department, just changed his title to Dr. Brown. I hope you'll still let me call you Howard, Howard. As a result of his graduate work at Ohio State, Howard had a leave a year ago, worked on his dissertation this last year, and now it's Dr. Brown. Dick Burkett, out here someplace, I saw him a few minutes ago, just finished a year sabbatical leave with Kansas State University, where he specialized in graduate work in the meats area. Ralph Voorhees finished a year sabbatical at the University of Missouri. Richard Leach, where are you, Dick? Where's Dick Leach? He's the head of our poultry industry department. He was in Oklahoma this summer, although I don't think he planned to go to Oklahoma, because I know somebody made a telephone call to the highway patrol at Redding, and they said, go out and see if you can get a hold of Dick Leach, who's traveling through that town about now. He's needed. And we told him about something, and it was the fact that he had won the Poultry Science Association's highest award for educational service, Man of the Year. Dick went to Stillwater, Oklahoma. He just changed routes and went to Stillwater, Oklahoma, to receive an engraved plaque and $1,000 in cash. The award goes to the PSA member who, over a period of years, has demonstrated outstanding success as a teacher. Congratulations, Dick. We're proud of you, and we're happy to welcome you back to Cal Poly this fall. J. Dan Lawson, Associate Dean of Activities, completed all requirements for a doctorate in education from Stanford this past spring. This was a particularly difficult accomplishment because he was on a 12-month assignment here and not eligible for a sabbatical leave. He compressed vacation times and took a leave without pay, and so it's now Dr. Dan. Gene Rittenhouse has been elected Vice President of the Western College Placement Association, an industry college placement organization of prominence in the placement field. I think it's important for us that he take an active role in that. Gene broadened himself in another way this summer, but I'm not talking about from the table. And he didn't get too broad because he traveled 4,552 miles in a brand new Renault, which he accepted delivery on in France. While he was there, that 4,552 miles took him to such places as Copenhagen, Paris, Freiburg, Switzerland, swimming at Sorrento, Austria, Italy. Oh, the opera at Italy. Rittenhouse is going to kill me. You'll never tell me anything again. The Riviera. The bullfights in Madrid. And many other places he told me about, but gosh, I can't even pronounce them. He says, however, that San Luis Obispo is the best. And I agree with him. I must admit that I didn't do anything this summer to improve myself professionally. I only did some things that would improve my attitude. Like going back to Minnesota and catching some walleye pike and some northern pike and some bass and so forth. I hope I can break the habit now. These faculty members, who I have singled out to welcome personally, represent a very small fraction of our faculty, and just a sampling of the many, many activities in which you, all of you, have participated, which will go toward more effective teaching in 1963. If we would add up all the things you've done this summer and put them all together, it would be a rather fabulous thing, I'm sure. I no doubt have missed singling out some of the very significant activities, but this is not important. What is important is our hope and confident belief that we have a faculty and staff that is interested in improving professionally, in keeping up to date, in doing their jobs effectively. We most certainly do not want to be accused publicly or otherwise, as one segment of secondary education recently was, of being so far behind the times that in effect they were teaching students to be unemployable. A prominent personnel director recently stated publicly that vocational education in Illinois bears about the same relationship to real needs of industry as the shovel and pickaxe do to the equipment demands of road building. I can assure you that our placement officer, Gene Rittenhouse, does not receive reports of that kind about the graduates of Cal Poly, and we don't ever want that to happen. Now, we've welcomed the old timers, those returning from sabbaticals and from summer vacations and so forth. We welcome also our new staff members. I would like to introduce each one of the division heads, who in turn will present the new members of his division. Now, I know that you're going to be real enthusiastic about your own division and so forth, but let's hold all the applause on all of this until the end so that we don't use up too much time. Warren T. Smith, Dean of Agriculture, would you introduce your new people? It's my hope and confident belief that the sabbatical leaves, the summer vacation activities, the activities of this conference week, and the inspiration which these new staff members will bring to them to Cal Poly will help Cal Poly do a better and better job of more nearly fulfilling its highest potential. I wish each one of you confidence, zest, and unlimited success in this and all of the exciting years ahead. My congratulations to Dr. Carl Cummins, who was the chairman of the 1963 Staff Conference Planning Committee, and to his committee members on the theme for this year's conference, Effective Instruction 1963, and for the work which has gone into the planning and arrangements for this conference. All of us know that in industry, if the production line isn't producing, nothing is producing. When we relate this to Cal Poly's industry, Cal Poly's product, that is, students seeking a Cal Poly type education, we can readily see that effective instruction in 1963 and in every other year is the lifeblood of our college. Congratulations to the committee on their selection of a speaker to give the opening address. There is no more appropriate person to launch this beginning of the year conference devoted to effective instruction than the college president. With this in mind, it's my pleasure to introduce the president of Cal Poly, Julian A. McPhee.
Ed, I too want to welcome all the people coming back from either your vacation or trips or wherever you happen to have been, sabbatical leaves. I want to particularly welcome back Harold Davidson, because he told me that he spent all his time in Boston all summer, and evidently he got the word that he has to get back into our way of talking. I want to also particularly welcome all our new members of our staff. I want to particularly congratulate all those who have had the honors, gotten the various honors and recognition. I think it's most wonderful that Cal Poly can continue to get that fine reputation, as evidenced by the list that our Dean of the College read to you. Also concerned this morning, as I look around and see that we have an overflowing crowd, I remember trying to get this building and this particular auditorium, a little theater we call it, I had to beg and beg and beg to get 500 seats in here. And now we've been promised sometime to get an auditorium of 1,500. We've been promised that as a first state college. I hope that we can get that in a hurry so we can be in time to take care of our ever-increasing group of our staff here at Cal Poly. I want to say I am always pleased to have the opportunity to talk to you at the beginning of the year. I enjoy meeting the crowd, the group of friends, the colleagues, and our ever-growing Cal Poly family. I want to particularly express my appreciation to you new staff members for deciding to join us in an effort to do an excellent job with our excellent product that we have here at Cal Poly. Talking about trips, I've had more trips, I think, since the last few days than I've had on my trip around the world. I got back here and had the assignments up at the Cambria on two different days, particularly on Saturday night when I promised the counselors I'd be with them at each of the camps. But in the meantime, someone had made a very definite commitment for me at Kellogg's yesterday. And then I had to be back here again, and I have to go back to Kellogg's this afternoon. But I want to tell you about an experience I had yesterday. You probably read in the paper that the King and Queen of Afghanistan was to be our guests on our Kellogg campus, particularly to see our Arabian horse show and to have a reception there. And of course, I had to be down there to greet them, at least to greet whatever I expected, the King and the Queen. I read in the paper on Friday that the King was indisposed in San Francisco. They gave various accounts of why he was indisposed or what was wrong with him, but evidently he was all right again on Saturday. I made this trip down, leaving here at about 9:30 Saturday night, and got down to Kellogg's yesterday morning after stopping in Ventura. And yesterday afternoon, about 1:30, Ken Kitch told me that the King got indisposed again. And I didn't quite get what he said over the telephone, but he was indisposed and he didn't show up. But I did go have an opportunity going out and meeting with all of the representatives of that fine country. They came in on 6 helicopters furnished by our government and the Marine Corps. We had lots of people from the Department of State. We had our ambassador to Afghanistan there. We had a crowd that was fine, and we had one of our trustees. And we met the Queen, and she was a most gracious person, and it was really a thrill to have the opportunity to meet her and to be the host. Mrs. McPhee and I were hosts and hostess for them while they went to the horse show and went to the reception. I was worried about protocol. I was worried about all of the things that they told me about these kings and queens, what they expected of you. When it came to getting in the car, they didn't care which way you got in the car, and they didn't care whether you kissed the Queen's hand or whether you shook her hand or what. So we just had a wonderful time, and she was very thrilled about Cal Poly. She's very thrilled about the horses that we have, such beautiful horses and so well-trained horses at our other campus. And we're very sorry that the King couldn't have been with us, but she was going to express to him the fine time she had and a wonderful, wonderful program. I mention that because I never saw so many press people, pictures taken, all sorts of movies taken. There must have been 50 different people representing the press and the television and radio shows. And so for nothing else, that besides the honor and that we had of being selected to entertain the Queen of Afghanistan, I think that we ought to feel real proud that we got that recognition. Now, the fall conference is a tradition with us, and the administrative code requires that state college faculties report a week before classes actually get underway in order to prepare for the coming year. This provides an opportunity to get acquainted and renew friendships and to make ready for a busy year. It also provides for an opportunity to review briefly the past and to plan with enthusiasm the future. Now, planning ahead is one of the most important responsibilities. Generally, we cannot plan too much, and planning we have done has always brought rewards here at Cal Poly. As you already know, your conference this year is devoted to teaching and its responsibilities. There's no subject more appropriate. In the hustle and bustle of our everyday responsibilities, we sometimes forget that the primary purpose of all of us is to teach students. Everything else is secondary, but must contribute to that objective. We must continually emphasize this fact. We have a variety of duties in the operation of a state college, and particularly here at Cal Poly. Some of us are concerned with administration, some with fiscal affairs, some with construction and maintenance, others with management, and still others with student welfare. However, all of our responsibilities, duties, and assignments are directed toward the primary responsibility of successful teaching. Our success as a college, our reputation with the public, our ability to recruit and retain students is all the result of our ability to select excellent teachers who can do an outstanding job of teaching as well as making contributions to the overall program. Those of us who are not assigned directly to teaching have the responsibility of making it easier for the teacher or instructor to do a better job, whether it is providing facilities or maintaining them or otherwise participating in the operation of the college. It is an appropriate time, I think, keeping in mind the theme of the conference and the college's historic teaching function, to announce that steps have been taken to pay special tribute to the superior teachers of both campuses. In concert with the Faculty Staff Council at San Luis Obispo and the Faculty Councils at Kellogg, I am asking that appropriate criteria be developed which could be utilized in making such a teacher selection each year. I am requesting that two such faculty members be selected on each campus and that these faculty members receiving this honor be given appropriate recognition on the campus and hopefully, if timing permits it, appropriate recognition in each year's campus's yearbooks. Once the criteria and procedures have been implemented, I plan to contact some foundations in the hope that such groups might be interested in extending the award from that of only a special recognition to the addition of some type of a monetary award. I believe that this is an important program, and I hope that you will give it your wholehearted support. I am hopeful, too, that the criteria and the selection processes which are to be developed will emphasize the teaching aspects and the involvement in working and helping students. Before getting too far into my principal context, I plan to discuss today, I would like to say a word or two about the special recognition Cal Poly has been getting as a result of our special type of teaching. This past year, we were assigned the training of 81 Peace Corps volunteers, 57 of whom were sent to Morocco. These volunteers were trained in the teaching English as a foreign language, in physical education, in irrigation, and in surveying. From reports I have received, all but two of the 57 are still in Morocco and are doing a good job. From my contacts with the Peace Corps in Washington, D.C., which I had recently, we can expect to be asked to carry on further assignments of this type. You all heard that we're working on an off-campus center program in engineering in the Vandenberg-Lompoc area. The trustees have already outlined the conditions such a program is to follow, and some of our people are now working out the details with the chancellor's office and the other various people that are concerned. You might be interested also in knowing that the United States Navy is exploring with us the possibility of our offering a special program in teaching naval personnel in the field of electronics. It looks like it could be a very important program. You already heard the dean of the college report on our Argentine team, consisting of four of our faculty members and an agricultural high school teacher who went along with the group. That party's already back. They're making out their report. They've already made a preliminary report. And the report calls for the expenditure of several million dollars, including some buildings in Argentine, and a three-year contract with an assignment of a group of Cal Poly faculty members to go down to implement a program in agriculture. We expect to hear from them, because if there's money available in from Congress to implement this program, and those concerned are very much enthused over what Cal Poly can do. You all know about my trip to Africa. You all know about our program at Lusaka, which is in northern Rhodesia, which is in the southeastern part of Africa, just below the equator. We have a team of four people over there, consisting of Bob Mott, who is head of our physical education program here, Phil Bromley, George Ferimsky, and Mrs. Velma Bradfield. I can't say anything more wonderful than the trip we had to Lusaka. We didn't have 1 minute to ourselves. We were enthusiastic about the response to everybody there. We met, I think, everybody from all the ministers, the prime minister, all the people to do with education, all the principals of schools and the presidents of colleges, all of the heads of the local fairs. We met everybody. I think every night we met with a different group, sometimes as many as 75, and the enthusiasm of our people that they're building over there, I think there's nothing can make them more successful. There's a problem over there, and I'm going to discuss it, this and the trip I've had around the world with Mrs. McPhee at a later date. I've been asked to talk on October 3rd to the staff club, which I said I would, and I'll tell you more in details. Except that the problem is that the English system of education is a system by teaching by rote and then giving examinations. And there's an elimination process that's been going on over there in Africa and all their colonies, that prevents people to get, except the very elite, to come along in their educational processes. And of course, that eliminates people like the Africans, and there has been a segregation program over there. They've already built the most beautiful six-story building you ever saw, just beautiful. I have pictures of it, many, many pictures of it. Not many classrooms in it, but just a beautiful building. There are about four other colleges that are being built or have been built, right around within a mile, and there's nobody to go to school. They're all illiterate. I asked the mayor of the town over there in Lusaka what his population was. He says, well, it all depends. He says, depends who you count. He says that the people that we count are only 13,000, but if you count those Africans, they're 93,000. And that's the attitude. And the idea is to get, if they're going to be put on their own in December. They're breaking up the federation between Northern Rhodesia, Southern Rhodesia, and Nyasaland. And that's to be broken up, and it's by an edict from England, and they're giving over control to the Africans. And I didn't count more than a baker's dozen of Africans over there who can run the place if they can, and they're all fighting among themselves. Each of these of our people have house boys and garden boys. They have everything. They get all the help they want for nothing, practically. And these boys are afraid to go out if they don't carry a card for the various political parties, because they have goon squads going out and beating them up if they don't belong to the party that's going up for election. And there are three parties, so they have to belong to all of them. Oh, it's very interesting. I'd like to tell you more detail, except that Bob's got a problem ahead of him trying to find students. I got a letter from George Rimsky yesterday, the day before, and he said that Bob has been made manager of the hostels in the area. They haven't any hostels for them to live in. They have to live in something. It's a problem. But it reminds me of what Cal Poly had way back in 1932 and 33 and 34. We had those same kind of problems getting started here. They have the same over there, and I'm sure that they'll come out and do a wonderful job. I found out that it was told that it would cost $50 cheaper to go on around the world than to go over to Lusaka and come back to California again. So I thought it would be best to go on around, and that's what Mrs. McPhee and I did. And we had a wonderful time in Cairo with the shepherds, and we went to four cities in India, and then went on to Bangkok and Hong Kong and Manila into Japan, and then Honolulu and home. I just say briefly that some of you people had written to some of our former students ahead of time, and the red carpet was out, and we just had a wonderful time, and I'd like to tell you about it. But I mention these programs that I related to you about Cal Poly expanding We've been asked, probably pressured, even more than we have in the past. And the reason it's been is the fact that people are recognizing the type of teaching reputation Cal Poly has and the methods Cal Poly has. And that's the reason why they're asking us to go to Argentina, the reason they're asking us to go over to Lusaka. And I'm afraid they're going to ask the head man in AID, he wants a dozen more people over there from Cal Poly. And I just can't see how we're going to get along here without our best people, and they want nothing but the very, very best. Now, in the history of the world, education has never been given more emphasis than it is today. In the United States, and particularly in California, the amount of public money spent on education is colossal. The amount of money spent on education in California is the largest single item in the California state budget. And there's no country that I visited this summer where education wasn't considered the most important of their development programs, no matter where you went. And that's the solution to the world problems. Now, with all this emphasis on education, there seems to be a conflict of philosophies about what kind of education should be offered and what methods of education should be used. I personally feel that it is too bad that in the United States we still follow much of the European and especially the British system of education, where it is assumed that education is a process of storing the mind full of facts. I've always called this the storage of cold storage information that we have a tendency to think about. According to that philosophy, the more facts an individual commands, the nearer he approaches the point of being completely educated. The power to make use of the information is a secondary matter.